665.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. It is currently, I don't know, I didn't even look at what the temperature is today. It's like 60-something.
It was 50 at 7 o'clock this morning, or 5:30 when I was leaving the house, something like that.
It's currently 58 degrees.
Oh, so I was like almost close.
Close.
With 60 degrees. Yeah, cool. And we got partly cloudy and a little bit of sun, which is going to be cool because I've been slowly working my way through our lawn. After they hydro seeded, it's like 12 inches long. Oh, like, no. It's insane, like how slow I have to go. But anywho, if at any time you have any questions,
comments, or complaints,
feel free to call it at 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. Remember, you can also live stream at any time. Just jump on kfarradio.com. Click on that big orange ball that says listen live, or if you've missed a show, obviously you can just scroll down on the right-hand side where it says Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden, scroll down past our bio, tells you how great I am, and then you'll see our archives down there.
There's always room to be even greater.
There is.
Room for improvement.
This semester, I will be teaching leadership in the Homeland Security Enterprise at UAF. I'm really super psyched about that. That's going to be a really fun class.
So. Yeah, I'm excited for you, all the students you get to touch in positive Christian ways. So,
security ways.
Yes, security ways.
I did my undergraduate up at UAF. It was 8 of the best years of my life.
Yeah, people don't really have a doctorate. Sound like a Tommy Boy ad or something for a second. And if you don't recognize that voice, we have a guest with us today. Not only do we have Matt and Cindy, our normal co-hosts.
Boise Bell.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Miss Boise Bell. We also have William the Bill Satterberg, one of the most respected criminal defense attorneys here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, maybe in the entire state and probably the entire West Coast.
Well, that's understating it a little bit.
I know.
The world, yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, like just having conversations with you in the past, you have law offices like in, what is it, the Philippines or Thailand or something like that?
Saipan, Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, which they refer to affectionately as the Northern Marijuana Islands. But yeah, it's north of Guam, about 120 miles.
Is that one of their exports there?
That's one of their major crops, yeah.
Oh, no question. Cool.
Just like Alaska.
Yeah. In the Luxembourg?
I do work out of Luxembourg in Europe and...
the smallest European country.
Been to Hungary, been to Russia about 11 times in a little less than a year. A little more than a year, I should say, yeah.
Huh.
Moscow, but not Eastern Russia only once.
Not over there, like, getting switched over or something, are you?
That was in 1992 when Perestroika hit. It was a Wild West.
The Perestroika. Yeah. Cool. All right, let's get the show started. And then we'll continue on our conversation with Mr. Bill. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Remember, freedom is not a bargaining chip, although, I don't know, I think a lot of politicians seem to think that it is because when we get around to the voting time, they all start to like spout off about how they're all pro-gun and everything else, and then the first thing that they want to do is take our rights away. Remember, the Second Amendment is to limit the government, not you. Also remember, and I kind of brought this up last class or last show.
Last class.
Yes.
Start getting used to it.
Pay attention, students. Yeah. Remember, school started on Tuesday, so make sure you're paying attention to those school zones and stuff like that. Watch out for little Timmy and Tammy running around, all excited to go to school, you know, because they're not running around with their head on a swivel looking out for you. So you probably need to make sure you pay attention and look out for them.
I need to touch in on that. I took my middle granddaughter to high school. And it's not the high school students that are the crazy drivers. It's the parents driving without headlights on. A woman, a mother, didn't even stop at the stop sign at West Valley.
No, there's suggestions up here, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. So watch out for the teenagers that you've worked so hard to get into high school.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Right. Good public service announcement.
Yeah. Good job there, Boise.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get started with Mr. Bill Satterbury.
Yes, sir.
Where are you from, Mr. Bill?
Originally, Seattle, moved up when I was 8 years old, moved to Alaska, brought my family with me, and grew up in Anchorage, went to West High, and then ended up UAF because my dad and I had a little bit of an argument about things, and he said, you can pay your own college kid, and so UAF I could afford, and so that's what I did. Did my undergrad up here and then went back.
And you did 8 years of undergrad work?
Well, I exaggerate a little bit, but that's okay when you're a lawyer. You know. I will say that fifth grade was three of the best years of my life. You know, I liked it so much I took it three times. Otherwise, so I was a Fairbanks transplant in 1969.
Oh, wow.
Then when I did my graduate school, went back east and overseas to England to do my law studies. So yeah.
Nice. Where did you go to law school at?
Syracuse, terrible football team that year. In fact, Sports Illustrated said when you stand on your head, Syracuse is number one. Then I, second year I went with Notre Dame Law School. They took me over to England and studied the British law schools and with Notre Dame. Came back to Syracuse in my third year and then came back to Alaska, of all things. So I kind of ended up in Fairbanks again because I had a girlfriend, not the one I'm currently married to and have been currently married to for over 45 years.
Congratulations.
Stay currently married to her, otherwise she'll take your shooting class.
we're not held responsible.
she followed me across country and got to Alaska, and then she ran off with my best friend, who became my very best friend. And I ended up moving to Fairbanks because she said she'd never live in Fairbanks, whereas Brenda, who's just a great lady, Brenda and I, she came back up here from New York. And mm-hmm. In fact, when I met her, she was living in a cabin off of Lane Road. And her dad had been a big banker with Morgan Guaranty. And I told her, I said, you shave your armpits? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, then we can go out. She had a little outhouse at the time, you know. In fact, she had a little porta potty inside the house. She had the only lady I knew who actually had a old antique toilet in the middle of her living room. We now use it for a candy dish.
Oh, my God.
Mainly chocolate.
That is insane. Okay. So I kind of asked you to come onto the show because your background as a criminal defense attorney, you've worked several cases like that involve some type of use of force and stuff. We talk about that a lot on this show, and we get a lot of phone calls from people as well. I think we should preface anything that we say further as this is not developing any type of attorney-client relationship. So therefore, anything that you hear today is just strictly for entertainment purposes.
Well, not only that, I don't think many of my clients have radios in their cells.
Actually, you'd be surprised how many over at FCC listen to us.
That's a gated community.
Yeah, literally is. And
it's the only gated community.
It's the only captive audience I have.
Exactly. And I thank you for all the referrals.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, likewise, I appreciate the referrals we get from you as well. For, like MIW.
Yeah. What'd they say one of your officers the other day blocked a punch with his face?
Yeah. Yeah, he did well. Okay, so let's see. What are we looking at time? I don't want to necessarily get into the question stuff right now, but you took one of our classes, right?
I've taken one of yours, and I took Masad Ayoub's class last year.
Yeah, when he came up in the summer.
I didn't know if that qualified as one of your classes or not, but you were certainly the assistant instructor there.
Right. I won't take anything away from Mass in the regard of the knowledge that he has. I was typically, or in that particular case, a student as well. And I thought that was an awesome opportunity to have him come up into the interior of Alaska. First time he had been up here, I know he came up to Anchorage one time before. So I don't know if we're going to be able to get him up next year. He said that he has some slots available, but
I sure hope you do. I mean, it's funny because when you told me about the class, I thought, I'm going to have some guy with a big turban on top of his head trying to teach me how to blow up cars or technical vehicles or whatever. And was it from New York City with a Boston accent or something like that?
Yeah, he's Lebanese. Yes. Yeah.
It was amazing. But I'll tell you, I learned a lot in that class that I did not expect to learn. And it was a very educational class for me. What, 20 hours of classroom and 20 hours of shooting?
It worked out to be that. Yeah. Like, it was literally a long 10-hour day every day.
Yeah.
It was awesome, though. We didn't stop learning.
No, it was really, really good. But, you know, I wanted to try to get him to come up here this summer, and I don't think the interest was there.
Really? I'm surprised.
You know who else did sign up for the class, though? Jason Doxey.
Jason did?
Yeah,
I talked to him, and I also talked to Judge Temple and suggested he might want to take that class. You know, I think Judge Temple is probably one of the best shots I've seen in this area right now. Mm-hmm. I'll never tell you about that, but he's phenomenal.
Good. Yeah. Handgun or rifle or?
All of the above.
All of the above?
But on handgun, he's won top shot several times at front sight. And,
yeah. He's, well, I know he has an EIC, Excellence in Competition, a little badge for handgun as well,
yeah,
for pistol.
Yeah,
because I have one for a rifle from the Army. So he got his when he was in the National Guard. So we have to go into our first break real quick. When we come back, we'll continue on our conversation with Mr. Bill Satterberg, our criminal defense attorney extraordinaire here in the interior. Stay tuned. We're going to learn how big fish are coming into Valdez now. Yay, so excited. Shh. All right, we'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, Matt, and Mr. Bill.
Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube. Heading out for some weekend fishing? Make sure your vehicle's ready for the adventure. Stop by either the College or Pegger Road location and let the Jiffy Lube certified technicians get your vehicle in road trip ready shape. Jiffy Lube can help with Pennzoil oil changes, transmission services, air filters, wiper blades, and more. Stop by when it's convenient for you. No appointment necessary. Jiffy Lube proudly pours Pennzoil motor oil. Not just oil, Pennzoil.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Brock Anderson of Jay Bear, Alaska. You reeled in a 13.10-pound silver, got on the derby leaderboard. So at what point did you realize, I know you said you had to wait a long time to get this fish, you lost a few, but when you actually got it hooked and you saw that it was a nice fat fish, what was the reaction?
Disbelief, to be honest. Like, you know, we went out there expecting to have a good day, but then you pull in something like that size, because, you know, silver salmon, when you're this early in the season, or especially when you're bank fishing and stuff, you're pulling in, you know, 8 pounders. So then when we saw that thing surface, we all knew it was a big fish, especially when it dove. So pulling it on the boat, kind of like I said, turned to yeah, I lost 4 fish in a row to I was like upset with myself, because everybody at this point had caught one. So then when I finally pulled that fish on the boat, it was like finally, you know, we're catching fish, you know, we're not losing them anymore.
Nice. And so it ran on you a bit, gave you a fight?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, yeah, especially once we got to the boat. I said some words that I can't, you know, unfortunately say on the radio, especially when it dove under the boat when we were trying to pull it in. But like I said, Captain Corey of the Devil Dog gave me a couple tips. I was, you know, nothing but encouraging, trying to help net it when we got it to fish, especially when it dove and then changed directions under the boat at the last minute.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
The only way to handle the weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Cryptic, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Danner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River, covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
I've got great news for you if you're looking for a job, and I don't mean just any job. How about working with a dynamic team like Auto Trim Design? They're looking for you. They're looking for detail-oriented individuals who know the automotive industry, have excellent time management skills, a willingness to learn, and work well both independently and with the great team at Auto Trim Design. If you're interested, stop by Auto Trim Design on South Cushman and apply today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
KFAR weather.
cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 67. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for rain. Lows level off around 52. Chance for rain tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 63. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, or Boise Bell, Matt, and Mr. William Satterberg here at the studios at KFAR. Down on the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's nice and sunny right now with big old puffy white clouds. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 8255. Remember, you can also live stream at KFAR Radio. Or, you know what, just dial in on Thursdays at 11 o'clock at 97.5 or 660 a.m. and you can pick us up there too. But nonetheless, all right, so back to you, Bill. Interesting conversation. Earlier, I didn't know that people would take a toilet and turn it into a candy dish, but okay, cool.
When you're desperate, desperate things are done. And by the way, I want to thank you. You have correctly called me a criminal defense attorney. I've been told criminal attorney many times, too. And I actually did have start out my life of crime by snagging red salmon, or actually commercial fishing violations back when I was 18. So,
well, the statute of limitations has run out on those.
So. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, it is AWT, so who knows?
I remember when the cop caught
crazy
me
brown
time,
shirts.
Cop caught me down one time in Lake Creek down by my parents' homestead, and he said, we've been snagging red salmon when I was a kid. He said, what do you got to say for yourself? And I said, well, you caught me red-handed.
All right. I would be remiss, one, if I didn't mention that we do have our Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes that are still available September, October, November, December. Also understand that you actually took one of our classes. What did you think of that? I mean, I just like
I have to tell
your opinion.
No, my opinion was it was a great class. I've gone through the Front Sight program. I think maybe five or six classes I've taken down there over the period of time. Never seems to help my shooting at all, as you well know. But on the other hand, when I took your class, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I enjoyed it. It was active, and I would highly recommend it to anybody. I really would. It's not only that, you know, you get that NICS card, because part of my criminal background is I'd go in to buy a. I got busted in court several years ago, folks, for allegedly carrying a pair of prohibited metal knuckles into the courtroom, and so as a result of that, I've been flagged a few times by the gun people. You know, of course, I only own three guns that the rest aren't registered, so. Anyway, but when I went to buy a gun, I'd have to always wait 5 days. So I finally thought, I got to get cleared for this thing. And what was interesting is when I was taking that class, I had a bunch of my clients in there who apparently had misconduct involving weapons charges. One of the DA's requirements was that you had to take a weapons safety class. So right. I steered them your direction, or basically said, folks, go get the class. It was kind of fun. It was almost like a reunion with about three or four of my clients that time.
And you were billing them on the side, were you?
I'd already pretty well hammered them. In fact, maybe that's why they kept wanting to turn and shoot my direction. But anyway, no, it was a great class. I absolutely recommend it. I learned a lot. I've tried to get my wife, I want to get her signed up to do something like that. But then again, that might be, maybe I shouldn't come to think about it. Sometimes we argue. But
no, I'll let her take the target home so she can put it on the side of the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
Just as a constant reminder to you.
You guys don't argue, you debate.
We debate.
We've been married 42 years now.
Yeah, we really don't.
And we don't really argue. It's more of a debate, I would say.
Yeah, a discussion. Yeah.
It's a discussion.
Well, I had to laugh because when I met Brenda, she was dating a friend of mine, and then they broke up, and I remember going out on the second date. I said, you know we're going to get married. She goes, you're an idiot. And I said, well, that's also true. And 4 months later, we got married. So, yeah.
You know what's interesting, though, is I actually had a conversation with your wife over at Alaska Ammo. And she told me, and I thought this was pretty profound, actually. She told me that her dad would not have allowed her to marry you unless your ethics and values were 100% in place. Like, if you were an unethical person, she would not have married you.
Whoa, that's the first I've ever heard that. That's good.
Right? I hope she's listening to the show. I thought that was really cool. That she remembered that, said that, and stuff. So, yeah.
I'm glad it's that, because her dad took me out to play golf also. When we got done, a rototiller hit the golf course. And so,
All right.
You didn't judge me on golf.
All right, so let's get into this this kind of questions that I had put together here real quick. So let's see what we can come up with. After an incident involving the use of force, and we'll talk about like a legitimate legal use of force, right? What immediate actions should an armed citizen take to protect their legal position, such as interacting with law enforcement or seeking medical attention? And I can tell you, we can always go back to what Mass taught in his class as well. That's kind of what I've always taught when we talk about these things. So what's your kind of take on that?
Well, it's interesting because before I took Mass's class, my answer would have been, don't talk to the police at all. In fact, I tell my clients, if you're not talking to the police, you can't lie to them. If you're going to talk to them, tell the truth. I mean, if you're going to talk to them, tell the truth. But if you aren't, but the smarter thing I usually tell somebody, if you're not talking, you're not lying. Like Ron White said once, you know, I had the right to remain silent, but not the ability. but practically speaking, one thing that Mass educated me on, it made a lot of sense, is I remember he said, establish the continuum. And he said, first thing you do, what happened? Give them a brief snapshot of what happened. You know, a guy came at me, had a knife, that type of thing. And then say, look, after I've had a chance to calm down, I want to talk to a lawyer, but let them know this is what happened initially. Is that he came at me with a knife. I felt threatened. You know, I'm sorry I had to do that, but I had to do it, that type of thing. More or less, so the officer realizes that you are acting in self-defense as opposed to not being in that situation. I think I realized at the time that was a very important piece of advice because otherwise, face it, an officer shows up at the scene and is making certain assumptions with respect to what took place. And if you're just saying, I'm not going to answer your questions, although you are preserving your Fifth Amendment constitutional rights, you're not really establishing what happened. So I do recommend that that's a good piece of advice, but don't talk too much. One thing I found interesting in a trial I recently did involving self-defense, of course, which you're aware, is that officers, troopers and officers, basically either by union agreement or otherwise, have a 48-hour or 72-hour cooling-off period.
Right.
Before they have to give their statement so that they can gather their information, put it back in their head, and get things organized about what really did happen because of the adrenaline stuff.
Right.
I learned, for example, that people sometimes when they've been through a traumatic situation may be smiling after it's over. But that doesn't mean they're happy about it. They may be happy that they weren't killed. But on the other hand, it's also a stress relief, but it can be misinterpreted.
Absolutely.
I read a Yahoo post today where some woman was smiling in court about something. I thought, well, is she smiling because she's happy that she's accused of doing something, or is she just nervous? And I've seen that with the clients.
Exactly.
The other thing that Mas mentioned was preserve evidence, names of witnesses. Try to get as many people in the area. Make sure the officers that show up are gathering witness statements, that they're not disturbing the crime scene, they're not kicking shell casings around, things like that. And then, of course, absolutely do seek legal advice at some point so that when you are going through the questioning format, you've got somebody there to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, or if necessary, terminate the questioning if it looks like it's going the wrong direction.
You know, I've always told students in the class, and you are a recipient of this as well, is like establish that public safety statement. You know, that's the person that attacked me, kind of the same thing. But also understand that you have to have those two sleep cycles, right? Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening to you is you transition from your prefrontal cortex during an incredibly stressful situation to your amygdala, which is your fight flight center. It takes about two sleep cycles or 48 hours for you to literally transition back to your prefrontal cortex after the adrenaline and the cortisol burns off out of your system. And so now you have that reason thinking, hence the reason why with law enforcement, we establish that public safety statement. That's the person that attacked me. That's the only person that attacked me. There's nobody else. There's no other suspects. And then it's like, shut up.
It's a good piece of advice.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I was with my dad when he died over at FMH, and I had been a medic for many years, and I remember he died, you know, all of a sudden he coded, and we decided not to bring him back. But what was interesting is that I was talking to a friend about a week later and said, you know, Bill, you were on the phone with me when your dad died. I said, what? He said, yeah. And I did not remember that at all, that I had been on the phone with Tim when my dad coded, and then immediately went to do what I had to do there. So, yeah, just completely blanked out of my mind.
Because it's not important to you at the time.
Not at all.
And so that's what other people need to understand. When you go into an incredibly stressful situation, your brain now only processes what it considers to be important to it at that time. So if it sees a knife in another person's hand, right, and it says, oh my gosh, that thing's going to kill me, that's what its primary focus is on. And that's how you get that inattentional blindness and selective attention or tunnel vision. That's also how you get that auditory exclusion, because your brain is now limited the amount of bandwidth it has to only that which is trying to kill it. And so we, as humans, that's how we preserve ourselves.
Well, not only that, I learned down at the front sight program, when you get done shooting, check your area, make sure there's not another shooter out there, somebody else that's going to be a threat to you. And I know you folks are trained to do that.
Right. But I would tell you the reason why I tell people have that scan after is not because it's a tactical Timmy thing that's cool to do, but it allows your body to now pull itself out of that tunnel of vision. Open up your ears, right? So we might even do something like, hey, Cindy, are you okay? And then she'll answer.
I'm okay. Are you okay?
I don't even have to look at her, but now it opens up my auditory exclusion, right? And then my scanning and checking my world is helping me also identify other witnesses. Understand this before we go into this break. Your witnesses of whatever happened are going to be experiencing the same event. They're going to have that same amount of like stress as well. It might be the first time they've ever seen a human killed or injured severely. And so they have probably transitioned from their prefrontal cortex to their amygdala. Go back and ask them questions 2 days later, which law enforcement normally does not do. I always told my guys, go back and interview 2 days later on a DV victim.
Yeah, you're right. They don't.
We got a break, mandatory break. We'll be right back with William Satterberg here, our criminal defense attorney on Shooter's Corner. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the Satellite West studio, you're listening to KFAR 97.5 FM. 660.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Hurricane Aaron making its way up the East Coast, expected to impact several states through the weekend. The storm not expected to make landfall, but still coastal areas getting ready for dangerous rip currents, which could lead to flooding. Long Island, New York's Nassau County has already closed some of the beaches. County Executive Bruce Blakeman.
There are very high tides. The ocean is rough. We have waves that are expected to be between 10 and 15 feet, which are very large.
The National Hurricane Center says Aaron's a Category 2 storm. Texas House lawmakers approving a redrawn congressional map designed to flip five Democratic seats into Republican ones. Texas Democratic Minority Leader Gene Wu pledges to challenge these maps in the courts.
This part of the fight is over. But it is merely the first chapter.
California lawmakers expected to approve their own redrawn congressional map to counter the Texas effort. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports an effort to decriminalize select psychedelics in the state of Alaska is taking a step forward, with a proposed ballot initiative now seeking signatures in order to put the question to voters in November of 2026. Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom announced last Thursday that she certified a statewide initiative application for a measure that seeks to legalize the regulated use of certain medicinal mushrooms and other psychedelics. According to the state, voters will decide the merits of the proposal. This initiative will decriminalize plant-based psychedelics and create a safe, regulated framework for therapeutic use, National Medicine Alaska wrote via an emailed statement. These natural medicines offer hope for Alaskans struggling with PTSD, depression, and addiction, especially among our veterans, first responders, and indigenous communities. Some who oppose the legislation have categorized mushrooms and other substances as gateway drugs, while others have said the passage of similar legislation could fuel underground and black markets.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Auto Trim Design has a variety of CompuStar remote starts available that are compatible with Drone Mobile, giving you the option to start your vehicle from your smart device. Ask about their proximity unlock feature that lets you unlock your vehicle as you walk up to it. No more searching for your keys while you're juggling groceries or school supplies. Auto Trim Design has been installing remote starts for almost 30 years. They're reliable, trustworthy, and stand by their work. As Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, Matt, and William Satterberg, criminal defense attorney extraordinaire in the studios here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Having a great time, great conversations. One, I don't think I've ever heard anybody turning a toilet into a candy dish. I don't know. Cindy, what do you think of that?
They turn them into flower pots.
Yeah, that's different. I'm not eating out of it.
Well, I guess they'll help your diet.
Did that too, but yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so on to, let's see, scenario or question number two. If an armed citizen perceives a threat in a public place, such as a parking lot, altercation, escalating to violence, what steps should they take to ensure their actions align with legal self-defense criteria? What do you think?
Well, obviously, one of the first things I do if you have time is call 911, try to get response coming. Number two, you know, I worked with ambulance for years, and they always told us, protect yourselves. You've got to, you know, if you don't protect yourself, you won't be able to help the other guys. So one has to be very careful about it. We responded one time to a shooting out the old Triangle Club out on the Farmers Loop and Steese Highway where we used to join when I was at the University of Alaska. And we got there before the troopers did, which was kind of interesting because, you know, we had the shooter was still there. Unfortunately, he was cooperative because, right. You know, I thought, and that's back in the days when the ambulance had the little X on the side of it. It didn't have all the emblems we have nowadays. And I thought, later on, well, at least he didn't use it as a target.
Right.
But so part of my advice, practical advice, would be to protect yourself, call 911. Actually, in that order, protect yourself, call 911. And then I think you just have to react based on what you see. Now, the one thing is you do have the right to not only defend yourself and use lethal self-force if necessary to perceive it, but also the law does allow you to use lethal force to present to that's my mom. Anyway, to use lethal force, to defend somebody else who may be subject to lethal force.
Right, defense of a third person.
Defense of a third person, right.
Statute does allow that, yes.
And so you can do that, but you know, one of the interesting conundrums in law is that you got to kind of know who is the, are you defending the right person when you're defending a third party? Because you might be actually, the aggressor might be looking like he's in a self-defense situation, but in fact, it's the person's the aggressor. We see that more with respect to physical force than we see it with deadly force.
Right.
But that's a real difficult job sometimes to decide what level do you escalate to and at what point, because it's so, like you said, so reactionary. You don't have time to think about this. I'm coming back to this case I tried back in May, and I was Matt Myers. And I'll tell you, I was very disappointed in our jury in Fairbanks. They convicted him of second-degree murder. And my perception was always that Matt had, in a matter of 1.9 seconds, he had shot 8 rounds at the person, Rolando Presley, who died. And we had different eyewitnesses. Some said Matt was shooting with his right hand, yet Matt's left-handed. We had others that said that he shot with his left hand, which was accurate. We had one person that said, these are all eyewitnesses.
Right.
One said that he shot twice and then stepped forward a couple seconds later, shot another 5 or 6 rounds while he was on the ground. Another person said, no, he shot all the rounds who were standing up. The perception of all these people was completely different. And these were all eyewitnesses that had seen this thing, and they described it. And I don't think they were lying. I really do not believe these people were lying on the stand. But it reinforced the fact that they all saw something differently. And, of course, Matt testified, and his perception was that the guy rushed him, and he immediately responded as he had been taught to do or taught himself to do,
mm-hmm.
And didn't really have time to think about his response. But unfortunately, after two and a half days of deliberations, the jury convicted him. One of the interesting issues on that case, it's going to go on appeal, but one of the interesting issues is the juror sent a note out from the jury room and said, how do we decide who was the first aggressor? Because that's one of the questions. Are you acting in defense or are you being the aggressor? Our offered jury instruction, which Judge Bennett chose not to give, was that the first aggressor is a person who either initiates the use of force or threatens the use of force, not just yelling at somebody, which would be First Amendment. We're talking about Fourth Amendment here,
right.
And Second Amendment, but yelling at somebody and calling, hey, you blanker blanker, is not really the use of force. It's the use of your First Amendment. But you got to be careful because the jury perceived that apparently as the initial assault.
Right.
I've had many, many trials over the years.
But wouldn't that fall under like harassment where it's like basically you caused a sudden spontaneous reaction based on words or your actions? Like, I think it's under harassment 2 statute or something like that.
It could be that, or even that. Just, yeah, you can, I can see where using fighting words.
But still, I don't think it still falls under the realm of the seven reasons that the statute clearly says, Title 18 says, that you may use deadly force.
Right.
You know, to prevent your own death or serious physical injury, sexual assault in the first degree, sexual assault in the second degree.
Exactly.
You kind of get those. None of them are which are property crimes.
They're 1141 crimes, yeah, which are crimes against a person.
Exactly.
Interestingly enough, there is a property crime, as you're aware. I'm pretty sure arson.
Arson.
Yeah.
To prevent arson, yeah, of an occupied building or dwelling.
And, of course, in this case, but Mr. Presley had been gunning around town lighting dumpsters on fire. I will say there have not been any dumpster fires since.
Fairbanks, kind of a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and this was a dumpster fire on this particular date that caused my client to go looking for him.
Right.
Partially because the police were just not responding. They had other priorities, which, understandably, they did.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting case. It's going to be an interesting study in self-defense, and it will go on appeal. But it taught me a lot, and it was a matter of perception. And of course, the thing is, in this town, we all do, many, many people conceal carry. Incidentally, I do not. I shouldn't probably tell that. Now people start looking at me. But I think that too many people with concealed carry develop a false sense of bravado. They don't realize the person they may be yelling at may be a hell of a lot better at that than they are.
Well, I tell people all the time, especially our students, like, the fact that you're carrying a handgun is kind of like carrying a hammer around, every problem looks like a nail.
Yeah.
You literally only have one use of force capability at that point, because unless you're like a Krav Maga guy and go over see Gary over at Krav Maga, right? There's a plug for you, Gary. But nonetheless, like some self-defense skill, some empty-handed self-defense skill, or you're carrying some type of pepper spray or OC spray, right? Your only level of force that you could probably go to is the firearm.
Right.
That is sometimes a problem. Because if you got a guy who's like yelling at you, and then you kind of like starting to play the scenario in your head about disparity of force and all these things, then most people would probably just go straight to the gun.
And the other thing,
I think that sometimes is a problem, to be quite honest with you.
That's one thing that bothers me, is I'll hear people talking, well, the guy does this to me, I'm going to shoot him. I would never let people do this. Shoot him. I said, how many of you folks have actually ever witnessed a person get shot?
Right.
And, you know, you say you're going to do it and you're talking tough, but are you really that tough? And I think, as you folks are taught in the troopers, your best weapon's between your ears.
Oh, absolutely.
And talk your way out of it. And, you know, I've had guns pointed at me before. And in one case, I had a hard time talking my way out of it because it was in Russia, but I didn't speak the language that well. But so I just kept saying, vodka, vodka, vodka.
It won't work here.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I would caution people, is that be real careful and know what you're doing. You know, back to your question about what do you do if you see something developing on the street. Yeah, you're going to have to protect yourself or somebody else, but be aware of the surroundings would be my advice. Preferably, I was always taught years ago when I went through training, they said the gun is designed to get you away. It gives you a chance to escape.
Right.
Yeah, not to have a shootout, but just try to get out of there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the studies have already shown that like 80% of situations will de-escalate when a firearm is introduced into the equation.
Right.
The other person's like, ooh, and then they like diddy mow out of there.
Ooh's one of the two words they use.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough. Yeah. The other one we won't say. But
same thing fighter pilots say when they get shot down.
You know, the other part that you mentioned, too, is that your witnesses all saw something different. And that kind of goes back to what I had said earlier, the fact that they might have just experienced a traumatic or a significant emotional event. And so, therefore, they literally are now thinking with their amygdala or processing information in that regard. They're not, like, reason thinking. And so that's how they come up with different things. You know, the other thing that's also interesting, too, is don't let your witnesses all, like, gather up together. It kind of goes back to, what is it, the five S's of POWs, right? It was like search, whatever. But one of them was separate.
Yeah.
Separate the POWs, i.e. separate your witnesses, because they will all start talking to each other and literally absorb somebody else's story.
Yes.
If I say something to you, it's like, oh, yeah, he was wearing a purple shirt. Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. He was wearing a purple shirt. I just happen to notice he's wearing a purple shirt in a purple room. But nonetheless, kind of like blended in. All I see is his head.
It's a burgundy.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, yeah, and his fly was open, too.
You know, and then everybody else starts saying the same thing, and then all of a sudden, it becomes fact.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the thing, is it's a hive mentality. If something stressful is going on, whether you're participating in it or not, you're trying to figure an answer out for that. You don't understand it. And if you're the loudest voice in that room and you're saying, oh, this is what's happening, everyone is now believing it. Now it could throw a trial, what I imagine would throw a trial. If everyone's story is one way, but then evidence comes down later on down the road that it's completely different, why that happened. Oh, looking back on it, it's now this and this. I imagine that's probably the simplest answer for a lot of that sort of stuff.
I did a trial many years ago down in Homer. A guy was accused of sexually abusing a teenager, and was an acquittal. But what was interesting was that the one of the kids I had interviewed had told me a certain version of facts. And the next day he got on the stand, the state called him, and he sat there and he changed the story from what he told me. And I said, well, wait a minute, you and I talked yesterday, didn't we? And he goes, yeah. I said, but your story's changed today. And I did something to tell you not to do in law school by day. He said, why did you change your story? Mm-hmm. And he goes, because it doesn't match the other kids. So I just said, I don't have any further questions. That was good enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Well, we got to go into our last break here real quick, and we'll continue on a conversation here. Came up with a whole bunch of questions, but we'll get through maybe just one more. All right. Stay tuned here. Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, Matt, or Boise Bell. I'm sorry, Cindy. And Mr. William Satterberg will be right back here at 97.5, 660 AM. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Renter Outfitters' extensive shooting department has what you need for your next hunt. Rifles and shotguns by Browning, Ruger, Winchester, and more. Handguns by Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and many others. Ammunition and reloading supplies as well. Protect and transport your guns with gun boots by Kolpin and cases by Pelican. Be on target with optics by Swarovski, Bushnell, and Leopold. Preparing for your successful hunt begins with a trip to Frontier Outfitters. For Alaskan-proven gear and clothing, trust Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle. Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Who turned out the lights? It's lighting season in Alaska, and you don't want to be left in the dark. At Auto Trim Design, we carry a wide variety of Moose lights from Vision X and Baja Designs, Tiny Monster LED headlights, and backup lighting to keep your path bright. Your safety is important to us. Drive with clarity and peace of mind with Moose lights professionally installed. Stop by Auto Trim Design today and let us design the right package that fits your needs. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 40 years. We treat every customer the Alaska way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 67. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance for rain. Lows dip down to about 52. Highs level off around 63. Tomorrow, chance for rain. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Boise Bell, Matt, and William Satterberg.
And we need to go to Boise.
Why?
See family.
I don't need to see them. That's your family. All right.
You are so mean.
And you can call me Bill. In fact, okay. I didn't know my name wasn't Dammit Billy until I was 21.
Fair enough. All right. So, in a home invasion scenario, what factors must an armed citizen consider before using a firearm in self-defense? And how might evidence like surveillance footage influence the legal outcome? Kind of like this, because people are always like, oh, the camera showed this. Sometimes cameras don't show everything.
I had a case a couple years ago, I'm not going to use names or anything, sure, but where a person had insisted that an assault, domestic assault, taken place inside their residence with the other side being the assaulter. And the other side said, you know, there's a Ring system in that house. And the DA's office subpoenaed it. They got it from the manufacturer because it's kept, believe it or not, even when you think that your emails and texts have been erased, they have not been. They're stored on on the main system for Yahoo or Google or what have you. And they went to Ring, and it turned out that my client had some pretty strong evidence against them showing that they had been the assaulter inside the house, even though their position had been that the other person had assaulted them in the house. So, nowadays, I definitely like the concept of surveillance cameras and stuff. I think it keeps everybody pretty honest. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for that. The other thing I would say is make darn sure that when you got something going on inside your house, that it is, in fact, what you think it is, and not maybe somebody coming home late or just, I had to remember a friend of mine came into the garage one time drunk, and my dog explained to him that you can't come in the house, right, rather forcefully. But and that's the only time the dog ever protected us. But that would be one of the things I'd be worried about. Is, you know, sometimes you have to make a snap decision, but my concern would be shooting the wrong person or some kid, that type of thing.
You know, there's quite a few stories. I remember going on several calls where somebody comes downstairs and, like, there's a person passed out on their couch. You know? Well, what I always go back to is what Mass talked about. Did they have the ability? No. Do they have opportunity? Yes, they're there. I mean, because of proximity, right?
Right.
Are you in jeopardy? No. What is their manifest intent? Nothing. They were literally dropped off by a cab or an Uber in front of the wrong house. You failed to lock your door. They wander in thinking they're in the at their own house. And just because somebody says, oh, my God, if they came into my house, I'd shoot them. Let me know how that works out for you. You'll be hiring Bill, you know, at, what, yeah. $2,000 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing you have to be careful about on these things is that, you know, there's this wives' tale, if you want to call it, that says, well, you shoot somebody, just drag them inside the house and you'll be okay.
That's another C felony we'll add on there, tampering with physical evidence.
Yeah, that. And secondly, people think, well, if you shoot them and you can just shoot somebody that's in your house. Yeah, we do. We are a stand-your-ground state.
We are.
We are a stand-your-ground state, but that does not mean that it gives you a right to just keep shooting people. I mean,
true.
You know, that's something I just caution people. Don't be one of these guys, I'll shoot anybody who crosses me, because in the end you might end up doing that and then find that. We'll give you a classic example, Joe Vogler. Remember the old days of Joe Vogler?
I heard the name. I wasn't up here at that time, but yeah.
Well, you probably weren't even born yet. Maybe you were. But anyway, Joe Vogler used to always say, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to take over, you know, we're the United Nations and this and that. And unfortunately, when Joe was shot by Freddie West, who I represented Freddie, Freddie had a great self-defense case. Joe had shot at Freddie twice, or once, and the second time put the gun to his face and pulled the trigger and it didn't go off. But Freddie had other reasons that he decided to plead guilty, ended up with a public pretender, and they took it from there. But I had actually represented Freddie before they found Joe's body. Actually knew where Joe's body was. I couldn't talk about it for confidentiality reasons. But again, Joe's public speeches would have really laid the groundwork for a great self-defense case.
Hmm. Yeah. Posting stuff on social media. I see this all the time, like somebody stole my heating fuel, and then you'll always have some chucklehead, you know, that'll post on there, well, if you stole my heating oil, I'd go out there and shoot you. Let me know how that works out too, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're setting yourself up for a very good prosecution. Yeah.
Do you not agree, though, that by posting stuff, I think sometimes, to be quite honest with you, our prosecuting attorneys here don't go that route. Like, they're not digging into people's social media and stuff and, like, establishing that, what is it, like the criminal mindset or whatever, like, what's their mens rea or what?
Yeah, mens rea, mental element. You're right.
Yeah, their mental element. Like, oh, so back here in March, you said that you would shoot anybody that stole heating fuel from you, and now all of a sudden you shot and killed this guy. Like, you know, I mean, how? I can see how they could, like,
one of the
stitch that in front of a jury or something like that.
Well, there's rules like Rule 403 and 404 that limit certain, if you will, have it.
Is that the federal rules of evidence?
Yeah. Well, it's no, state rules, too.
Okay.
But basically, you can't bring in a person's propensity to do stuff unless it becomes an issue, but then you can. But I will say that, I tend to be right-wing. I tend to be redneck, and which is kind of interesting because most people in my business tend to be rather liberal.
Right.
I'm not. I'm a constitutionalist. Strongly believe in the Constitution and our protections under it. But I unfortunately, the DA's office in town, I believe, is overworked, as are the police forces here. And so they don't do the job investigating, like you said during one of the breaks, just before the break, of going in and starting the investigation after the element. Basically, once the element of the case has been turned over to the DA's office, generally speaking, the investigation stops. Well, that's when the defense counsel starts investigating the case. Because we don't even know about it until we get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, I need some help. And that's when I would recommend that they spend more time digging into it. And similarly, with respect to prosecution, you know, it may sound stupid, but hey, if these guys if they get convicted, they deserve the sentence they get. I'll fight like heck for them, you know, to get them acquitted. Because I'm not trying to prove they didn't do it. I'm trying to say the state didn't prove that they did. There's a big difference.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Beyond a reasonable doubt. Highest standard we know in law.
Yep.
And but on the other hand, I do think that we need stronger law enforcement. I think we need stronger support for the DA's office here in town. Obviously, if we have more DAs, I get more business, right? Wrong.
Like you said, it probably goes more to the public. You call it what, the public pretenders?
Yeah.
The public pretenders, like, they're overworked as well.
Oh, they are.
They're just triaging stuff at this point.
That, and the same with the DA's office. I mean, and that's the other problem is a lot of these cases, they're going to have to start making decisions of which ones do we prosecute. For example, I'm backing a law that makes the first-time DUI not a criminal offense if they go through a rehab program for DUI number one and only number one. be a great program. But I'm getting pushback from the DA's office, not from the governor. He supports it. But from the DA's office doesn't like the idea, which I think is ridiculous. We got to.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. Why not help somebody?
Yeah. House Bill number 3, if you want to take a look at it. HB 3 of House Bill, Michael Prox introduced it.
And it's, that's one of our local representatives here from North Pole, right?
Yeah. House Bill 3. And it used to be last year, the year before, it was another one, I think 392 or something like that. But it got reintroduced, and it's a great bill. But, you know, there's like, well, we're going to prosecute these drunk drivers. 85%, 50 to 85% of the people never reoffend. Now, that's a little quick for me.
No, I get that. And you know what? Sometimes it's just that, just a mistake. To be quite honest with you, I mean, they go to Bobby's or some other place, their anniversary, they have, you know, probably more than they probably should, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They walk out of there and they're a point freaking 081 or something. Yeah.
But if you kill somebody, that's
Well, that's
story.
Different.
That's different.
Whole different ballgame. That's true.
That's
why I tell my clients, is, hey, you know, 1 minute, you know, you're sitting there, and I remember years ago I went into jail and a guy came walking out and said, why am I here? I said, because you crossed the center line and killed a young girl who's taking her clothes to the Goodwill mission to help the poor people. He had no idea why he was in jail. And that was really sad. Really sad.
Yeah, I would have to say that's probably the hardest ones that I've ever had to deal with as well, is where the intoxicated person literally survives the crash, but the other people in the other vehicle do not. And they survive it because they're like not wearing their seatbelt and they end up under the dashboard or something like that because they're literally super loose or something, you know?
Yeah.
So
they're flexible.
But, all right, cool. All I have left now is I got a cup for you.
Oh, that type.
Yeah. I mean, you could wear it the other way if you'd like.
Okay.
Once again, let me know how that works out for you.
Exactly.
Like, think of it as a chastity cup.
There we go. It's awful small.
Yeah. Well, it'd probably be cold. Yeah. But every guest that comes on our show gets one of those.
Hey, I appreciate this very much.
Yeah. Put a little flag on the back there for you.
Yeah, I see that.
You love America.
Well, your politics are in the right place, too. And I'll do it again. And I know you didn't ask for this. So I would really plug your programs. I really like C4. I've enjoyed the teaching. I've enjoyed the relationship. Your whole group here is just a really good group. You guys are doing a great job.
You.
And I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, it helps when you have like a really cute looking instructor too.
Well, yes,
not me.
Thank you, Chuck.
Are you talking about Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking about Matt.
Yeah.
When your wife wants some help, let me know, please.
I do want Brenda to learn how to shoot. She used to get mad at me. She'd throw eggs in the sink. That was criminal mischief. When she'd get mad, she'd spot eggs in the sink just to get rid of her frustration. So I'm thinking about maybe better just keep her with eggs.
It's not criminal mischief. She's just throwing her own stuff.
I do have some female clients, and it's absolutely wonderful. So I keep my clients confidential.
Yeah.
I don't let people know who I'm training, and some like that. Some don't mind.
Oh, I agree exactly with the Second Amendment, though. I mean, that really is the purpose, is to keep the government in check. And if we ever start giving up that, which people are trying to get us to do, it's wrong. It's very, very scary.
Well, if they can do that, then they can control the population.
Well,
and that's what our forefathers saw when they left England. They saw how the king could literally just restrict everything, and then they could just run amok.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're running amok now.
What about our one bill the Senate Bill 136?
Yeah, we're kind of hoping to see that come back. We've talked about that in past shows. That's the one where we want to limit banks from tracking merchant category codes. A lot of other states have started to do this already because banks can literally say, well, what they've done, they essentially have created a kind of a de facto registration, if you will.
Yeah.
They can say, hey, you bought like 5,000 rounds of 9mm, and all of a sudden now you're on some freaking watch list or whatever with a three-letter agency.
What's the definition of an arsenal, 500 rounds of ammunition or something like that?
It varies based on the news reporting, right? Depends on where you're at.
And if you got 22s.
Right, exactly. So he had an arsenal. He had 3 rifles and 4,000 rounds. Dude, that's not an arsenal.
Like a 2-hour shoot.
Yeah, especially with the FRT,
oh,
the force reset trigger.
Yeah. Fully legal.
So fully legal now. But yeah, I think people need to continue to track that HB 136. And then I also like your HB 3 with Mr. Prax and stuff. Maybe people could start looking into that and kind of push that as well. Mr. William, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your time with us and stuff. And
thank
hope you.
You
enjoy your cup. If your lovely wife would like one too, I'll pass and let her have a cup too. They come in red, white, blue, and also army green. So, all right. Hey, everybody, we're done for the day. Hey, on the 4th of September, I have Cam Carlson, who's the dean of the College of Business and Security Management, who's going to be on the show. But we got to bounce out now. I got music playing in the background. So, everybody have a great weekend. Get out and enjoy the sun.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for news and conversation. KFAR.